And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND, staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I trust I just got a great report from my producer, Randy, who said that no tornadoes in the Mississippi area, and I trust that all of you who are in our listening audience have been safe from this weather that was predicted to be extremely violent in various parts of the country, particularly the Southwest, and I think coming up into the Southeast. So good. We're praying for you and trusting that all of you will stay safe and sound. Don't do anything to put yourself or your family in jeopardy, of course. If you know one of these bad storms is coming, get out of the way. I had never experienced hurricanes in any significant way. We had some bad weather up in Massachusetts where my wife and I lived there, but never experienced a hurricane until we got to Virginia. And the first year we were here, in fact, let's see, July, August, within 2 months, Hurricane Isabel hit. And it was a bad one, but we were really blessed. I'll tell you that story sometime. We were really blessed. No, really virtually no damage to our home at all, even though all over our neighborhood there were problems. But we had been praying very hard, too, and sort of drawing a bloodline around our home and just believing Jesus. We had just moved into the house not 6 weeks before and believing Jesus to protect our home and protect us. And, of course, he did. Say, well, wait a minute, Jesus, why wouldn't he protect everybody? Well, okay. See, some of those folks out there don't understand. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given, right? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. You know, God is not intrusive. He does not force himself on people. And he is good and kind and merciful toward everyone. He makes his rain to fall and sun to shine on the just and the unjust. But in terms of asking God to intervene in your personal life, in our personal lives, he will not do that unless we ask him to, unless we invite him in. He is, as I've heard said many times, God is a gentleman. He does not force his way on anyone. He loves us and wants us to invite him in. But if you don't, he won't. Well, we were inviting him in, believe me. Lord, please come right on in and set up right over top of our house. So when the storm comes, it sees you and heads the other way. And we were definitely quite blessed and thankful to God for that. And we, of course, had a number of hurricanes since. And again, we've not experienced any tremendous damage. But Randy was telling me about a situation where a tornado hit down there and literally stripped everything but the frame of a pickup truck away. I mean, that was all that was left was the frame. These things are violent and vicious. And frankly, folks, climate change or whatever other theories people can come up with, there's no human being who can control this stuff. And all this craziness they're talking about doing, it's not going to change the weather. It's not going to have any effect. But I tell you what, prayer can. I believe that. I believe prayer, concerted prayer, can make all the difference in the world. Well, look, it's good to be with you all today. And you know, I've got some great news to celebrate. It doesn't affect you and me personally, but it kind of encourages me as someone who is constantly promoting the idea that we live in a great country where things are possible that are possible nowhere else on the earth. I just read this morning, Kanye West, I think it was back only about a year ago, I didn't know this, that he had moved into the billionaire status. I didn't realize that. But Kanye West is now reputed to be worth $6.6 billion. Yeah, count them. Billion. Kanye West, $6.6 billion. And folks, all I can say is, only in America. I mean, I don't know Kanye West personally, and I have no reason to personally dislike him, and I don't. I was, in fact, very happy last year when he, or a couple of years ago, when he took a stand in favor of President Trump And not just because he was supporting the same person I was supporting, but because he was willing to say, being black doesn't define how I think. The color of my skin does not define my thinking. And so I think so many people allow that to be the case, where the color of your skin is supposed to define how you think. And he said, no, it does not. And he mentioned explicitly this notion that if you're black, you've got to be a Democrat, you've got to vote Democrat, you've got to support Democrats. And Kanye West, as a relatively new Christian, I think was coming to grips with the fact that Christianity is incompatible with the Democrat Party. It just is these days. That might not have always been the case, but it is today. Given the policies that they are advancing, it's just, I can't see how you can reconcile the two. Now, the thing that really encourages me about this, too, I've been saying what we need to tell all these young black kids out there, many of whom are dying every year in black-on-black violence and crime, many of whom are ending up incarcerated because they're out there in the streets and they're dealing drugs and they're involved in gang warfare, and it ends up ultimately leading them into a confrontation with law enforcement, and they always lose. They're going to lose. And yet, these people who have been fabulously successful in the black community, many of them, Kanye West is an exception, instead of telling these kids, hey, here's how I succeeded, here's how I made it, here's how I took advantage of the opportunities available to me, here's what I did, and you can do it too. Instead, they're telling them, oh, woe is me, because, you know, I'm a millionaire or billionaire victim, and I'm a victim of racism, and I'm a victim of white privilege, and I'm a victim of white supremacy. And it's just such blatant nonsense. And that's fine. If they want to believe blatant nonsense, they've got enough money that they'll be fine believing blatant nonsense. It won't help them much in eternity, but, you know, they'll be fine here on earth. But don't sow that poison into the minds of generations coming behind you, because all you're doing is teaching them learned helplessness and hopelessness, when you ought to be showing them that what you've done, they can accomplish too. And you ought to be telling them, you live in the greatest nation on earth. What I've accomplished would not be possible almost anywhere else on earth. And you can do it too, because you live here and the opportunities are available to you like nowhere else on earth. Yeah, but what about racism? Just look, human beings are imperfect. And some of them have hateful or bigoted thoughts toward others for whatever reasons. It may be skin color. It may be something else. Who knows? That does not define or control your destiny. And what you do is determine what you want to try to achieve in life, and you go for it. But instead, what we've got, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and Oprah Winfrey and LeBron James and a bunch of others I could name, telling young people that in spite of how successful they are, it can't happen for them because America's a racist country, America's a white supremacist country, and, you know, the police are out to hunt you down. And I mean, such empty, suicidal, racial demagoguery and indoctrination. That's all that mess is. People like Kanye West ought to be saying to America and to the black community, we live in a wonderful country where someone like me is possible. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. With the latest push for a $15 minimum wage, it is worth revisiting why many economists and politicians feel it is bad economic policy. Scott Moorfield describes some of the consequences of doubling the minimum wage. The first objection is that it will destroy jobs. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that upward of 1.4 million jobs will be lost if the $15 minimum wage goes into effect. Raising the minimum wage helps those who keep their jobs, but it hurts those who lose their jobs because an employer cannot keep them on the payroll. I recently saw an interview with the owner of a frozen yogurt shop. Most of his employees are high school students. This may be their first job, and he could not afford to pay them all $15 an hour. He also explained that he couldn't just raise prices equal to the wage increase because he would lose too many customers. A second objection is that raising the minimum wage would hurt low-skilled workers. Professionals like doctors, lawyers, and engineers will always have work, he explains, but the job loss will affect those on the lower rung of the employment ladder. Inflation is a third objection. That didn't occur to me, but all you have to do is consider economics 101. If the price of production increases, the item being produced will inevitably cost more. Finally, the rich will get richer. He says giant, multinational corporations like Amazon, Target, and Walmart can easily afford and absorb any increase in the minimum wage. Of course, small businesses would face a more significant challenge. I realize that American workers are struggling, but so are many American businesses. Raising the minimum wage seems like a compassionate policy until you begin to consider the consequences. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
Hi, this is Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, and I want to send a big thank you for standing for life to you. Because of listeners like you in 2020, Preborn sponsored over 45,000 free ultrasound sessions to women in need, saved over 31,000 babies, and prayed with over 6,500 women to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord. The battle rages on in 2021 at an even greater level, and our goal is to give Planned Parenthood the biggest competition ever.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. Again, that's preborn.com, or simply dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say the keyword baby. Your love can save a life.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And folks, that little podcast drop-in spot there, that is extremely important. We hope you'll take advantage of it. Go to our website, AFR.net. Download the app if you haven't yet, and go to our website. Go to the website or use the app. And you can get the podcast there of the programs. And that's extremely important because it helps us broaden our reach. We get to reach people who can't listen to the program on perhaps a given time. Somebody may be working right now. I know some of you truck drivers out there, you're on the road, so you get the benefit of being able to do that. And God bless all the truck drivers. I get calls from you truck drivers. Appreciate you. And you may not be able to do that, though. You might not have that luxury. But you want to catch the program. So you can catch it on the podcast because it's there, downloaded on the podcast, on the website, and on the app for you every single day and available to you. So please take advantage of that because it gives us a way of measuring the engagement of our audience. So we appreciate it. Now, you remember yesterday that I talked about the fact that this massacre of 8 human beings, and that's what matters most, this massacre of 8 human beings, by this madman down in Atlanta who, for some reason, got it in his head that the way to solve his sex addiction problem was to go into these massage parlors and kill a bunch of people. And I said the reporters who were asking about this did not ask, as far as I'm concerned, two essential questions because it was so busy clamoring. Was he out to get Asians? Was this a hate crime? This must have been a hate crime because most of the people who were killed were Asians, and they just couldn't let that go. They just couldn't let it go. I've given this a name now. Race Obsession Syndrome, ROS. They are infected with ROS. And true to exactly what I was saying, today I read that they're now saying, and folks, that this stuff is just, you can't make this stuff up. They're now saying that the Atlanta shootings are Donald Trump's fault. Oh yeah, they're Donald Trump's fault. Because Donald Trump set such a tone of racism that this is now the result. The man said it had nothing to do with race. He was trying to resolve some sort of sexual issue that he's got, and he went to the places that he has frequented in the past, in other words, going there to pay for sexual favors, and instead he went back this time and began to kill people. Now, I said the first question they ignored was, is he going to be examined for psychological problems? Because he clearly has them. I mean, that's writ large all over him, right? He's crazy. He's insane. He had all kinds of options, but somehow in his twisted brain, killing a bunch of people was the way to go. So you know there's something wrong there. But they didn't ask that. And what they also didn't ask, and I've done a little bit more research on this, but they also didn't ask, what's going on with these massage parlors that seem to be staffed primarily by Asian women and appear to be houses of prostitution, not places where you go to get a massage? And in some cases, they've even got them combined with the nail places. So if you see one of those ladies, if you see one of those places that's a nail place attached to a massage parlor, and it's staffed by Asians, and I know some people call this racist, and I'm not being racist at all. I'm simply being honest and truthful about what is going on. I simply refuse to bow to the idea that you can't bring this stuff up because people will call you a racist. It is what it is. And it's not racism. It's factism. Okay? Be careful going into these places, because down in Florida, for example, they did the FBI, in cooperation with the state of Florida, did a network-wide sweep, and that's how Kraft, who's the owner of the Patriots, that's how he got arrested, because apparently he was one of the people frequenting these places down in Florida. And I don't know whether his case has been resolved or not, but he's the most prominent name mentioned, but apparently they've got thousands of names of men who've been frequenting these places. Now, here again, folks, The reporters were not curious about any of this. They didn't have any thought about any of this. And here's where, again, I expose their utter lack of interest and compassion for human beings and their total ideological idolatry. What they're interested in is proving that they're morally superior and that we are the champions against racism. And this man must have been a racist. Whether he was or not, doesn't matter, because they show you just how superior they are, that they're raising this issue. And you podunks out there, you just don't get it. You don't have a clue. We sophisticates in the journalism industry, we see it. The man denies it. And here, staring them in the face, because I've done some research just in the last day to look at this issue. Apparently, there are 9,000 of these such institutions in the country. 9,000 staffed by Asians, front massage parlors that are really houses of prostitution. And apparently, what is happening is organized crime is bringing women over here from China, Korea, and Thailand, primarily. They are promising them legitimate jobs. They're often bringing them over on visitor visas and telling them they'll get legitimate jobs, and then they'll help them to work through the process of applying for a green card or citizenship or so forth. And when they get them over here, they force them into prostitution because they charge them $40,000 to $60,000 to process them into the country. And then they say, well, you have to work here until you pay us off. So these women really are trafficked into prostitution, and they're effectively slaves. They're not allowed to move around without a handler being with them. In other words, all of their movements are controlled to make sure, I suppose, that they don't talk to the authorities, that they don't go to anyone who could expose what's happening. And this thing is organized by criminal enterprises, and it is a $3 billion a year industry. A $3 billion a year industry. Now, wouldn't you think that would be of interest to reporters? If you're really interested in the state and the condition and the treatment of Asian people, wouldn't you think that they would be interested in exposing this? Because this is a widespread, multi-billion dollar slave trade, primarily in Asian women. And just wouldn't you think that they'd be curious about that? Oh, no. No, this was an attack on Asians, and it was fueled by Donald Trump. In other words, they are so infected with ROS that they're too stupid to see right what is right in front of them, because they're busy groping for something that they can use to slander him, to prove that America's a racist place, to prove that all white people are racist and they're out to get anybody else who doesn't look like somebody of European ancestry, that America's a terrible place, and this is the kind of thing that happens here, and they're missing the big issue. But see, they don't want to touch that anyway, because guess who is mistreating all of these Asian women? Yeah, you guessed it. Other Asians. Other Asians. They're the ones who are trafficking them. They're the ones who are enslaving them. They're the ones who are lying to them and deceiving them to get them into this country and use them for their profit, their benefit. But here I am, little old talk show host, and I see it, but that's because I don't have ROS. I don't have race obsession syndrome. So it's pretty plain to me, but these folks who are infected with that, they can't see the forest for the trees, folks. They're incapable of seeing it. Wouldn't you think, for example, I mentioned Kanye West, wouldn't you think there would be a celebration? Wow, Kanye West worth $6.6 billion. Wouldn't you think there'd be stories about, wow, look at all the black billionaires and millionaires in America. Wow, look at all these successful people. How did they do it? Well, maybe. Of course, they'll never say maybe America's not a racist place. Maybe America's a place of opportunity for anybody willing to get up off their duff and do something with their lives. Maybe anybody can make it in America. Oh, no. No, we can't say that. Oh, no. I don't care if we have umpteen billionaires, millionaires, trillionaires coming out of the black community. We can't say that because we're too infected with ROS and the victimization mindset and mentality. And we got to keep pushing that, you see. And they're even pushing on the Asian community. If the Asian community is not aware, they'll buy into this stuff too. Oh, yeah, we're victims. Oh, yes. We're victims of American racism. And they're victims of other Asians who are using them as chattel slaves. So somebody has got to say this stuff. Somebody has got to. And frankly, there aren't enough. I'm not the only one. I'm not suggesting that. But there aren't enough people pointing out the truth. So Mike Barnicle and this woman, Representative Judy Chu of California, and Mike Barnicle, he's from Massachusetts, they're saying that the shootings down in Atlanta are Trump's fault. I mean, folks, you really do have to have BBs for brains to believe that. I mean, I'm serious. You got to have marbles rolling around up there. Or as they say, maybe you got to be off your marbles, you know? I mean, because that doesn't make a bit of sense. And yet you got a whole, probably thousands of women being abused in the sex trade, and nobody wants to talk about that. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
A visitor to Israel today will see a very familiar emblem wherever he travels in that country. It's a picture of two men with a cluster of grapes hanging from a pole, resting on their shoulders. Several visitors failed to catch the significance of that emblem. The two men in the picture represent Joshua and Caleb, two of the outstanding persons in the Old Testament. Back when the Hebrews were leaving their captivity in Egypt, they made their way to the southern border of what later was to become Palestine. Wondering if they should proceed into the promised land or not, Moses and the other leaders sent 12 men into the country as spies to survey the situation. The account says they found the land to be very fertile and brought back the cluster of grapes as proof. When the 12 had returned from their travels in the country, they were called together and questioned by the leaders. The leaders wanted to know what chance they had in a battle against those who possessed the land. If the Hebrews were strong enough, they would proceed to do battle. But if not, then they would have to wait. Of the 12, 10 brought very negative reports. "The people who dwell in the land are many, and they are big and strong," came the report. "We look like grasshoppers compared to them." When the people heard this report, they began to complain. A negative report usually gets negative results. "We wish we had died in Egypt," they said, "or even in the wilderness, rather than to come to this country." However, two of the 12 brought in a minority report, and minority reports are often more realistic than that of the majority. "Let us go up at once and possess the land," said Caleb, "for we're well able to conquer it." Joshua agreed with Caleb and pleaded with the people not to be afraid, but the leaders decided to wait. Well, history proved that Caleb and Joshua were right in their assumption, and today they are remembered for their daring faith and positive thinking everywhere in Israel. It's important what a person thinks of himself, extremely important, for it's highly unlikely that a person can accomplish something he doesn't think he can. But if a person has a healthy self-respect for himself, his chances of success are much improved. It's very doubtful that other people will think more highly of you than the opinion you hold of yourself. Positive confidence and faith in oneself is a very fruitful and practical trait. Now, I don't mean to imply that a person needs cocky egotism. That's not self-confidence at all. It's a serious form of false pride. But what I am saying is that we can do many things which we otherwise would be unable to do if we believe we can. "All things are possible to him who believes," said the carpenter from Galilee. So think highly of yourself, and always remember that God thinks highly of you also. Oh, incidentally, when the Hebrews finally did enter the promised land, do you know who it was that led them? None other than Joshua, and he was probably assisted by Caleb.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Let's start taking your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. Two more stories I want to get out before you, and then we want to get your input and your involvement in this conversation. 888-589-8840. First, I want to commend Governor Ron DeSantis because he has banned critical race theory in Florida. Good for you, Governor. Good for you. And God bless you folks in Florida to have a governor who's got the foresight and the courage to say, we're not going to have that indoctrination mess being taught to our kids. And in fact, to quote him, and I couldn't have said it better myself, quote, "There is no room in our classrooms for things like critical race theory. Teaching kids to hate their country and to hate each other is not worth one red cent of taxpayer money. Our schools are supposed to give people a foundation of knowledge, not supposed to be indoctrination centers where you're trying to push your specific ideologies. God bless you, Governor DeSantis. Thank you. About time. Instead of going along with this mess, we got the even the some of the military teaching this nonsense. You got the Southern Baptists allowing this mess into their curriculum. Right, come on, folks. That stuff is ungodly. It's a lie. It simply should not be taught in any institution in America. These far leftists want to buy into that nonsense. Have at it. It's a free country. You can do that. But we should not be using taxpayer money to ply our children with that garbage. And here's the other story. Milwaukee judge and president of a drag queen story hour group. Now, did you hear that right? He is a Milwaukee judge, and he's the president of an LGBTQ foundation. His name, by the way, is Brett Blom. I guess that's pronounced correctly, Blom or Blom. He was an elected judge for Branch 5 of the Milwaukee County Circuit Court. He is now charged with possessing child pornography. What's wrong with Drag Queen Story Hour? Oh, that's a good thing. That's it. This is great. What's wrong with you bigots who don't like this? The president of the LGBTQ Foundation and a big supporter of Drag Queen Story Hour arrested for possession of child pornography. Oh, wow. I rest my case. I said that anybody who takes their child to a drag queen story hour should be investigated for child abuse and perhaps have those children taken away. If you don't have any better sense than that, because these people who want to ply children with this sexual perversion shouldn't be allowed anywhere near children. Here you have a case of a judge and a supporter of that mess who will use his judgeship. By the way, I got criticized very roundly. This was years ago when I said I would not support a homosexual judge. If the person is a homosexual activist, now, I mean, if you don't know what they are and they seem to be competent, sure. But if you know if the person is an out activist for the homosexual movement, that person shouldn't be in a judgeship because they have an agenda, and the agenda is to push their perversion. Their agenda is not to uphold the Constitution and laws of the United States of America if they're an LGBTQ activist. Proof positive. Judge arrested for possession of child pornography. And he supports Drag Queen Story Hour. I wonder why he supports Drag Queen Story Hour. Could it be that that's where he fulfills his prurient interest in children? Huh. Wow. How could anyone say such a thing? Because it's so obvious. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Forgive me, folks, if I sound a little incensed, but I say when I start thinking about people abusing children, it does get my blood up. It really does. But let's come to your calls and see what kind of note you strike here. Let's go to Tom in Texas. Tom, welcome.
Howdy.
Howdy.
How you doing? Hey, I got two things I'll say real fast. Man, all this country, man, they're turning this thing into a freak show, man. I mean, we even got bearded ladies now. Anyway, it's like a three-ring circus, but the rings ain't things. It's like the Satan, man. It's kill, steal, and destroy. Just like they're trying to kill the babies. They stole the election. They're trying to steal our religion and our freedom, and they're trying to destroy us in this country. These people need Jesus.
And we're not going to let them succeed, Tom. We're not going to let them succeed. What's on your mind today, other than that?
That's it. They just need Jesus. They need to turn before they burn, you know?
Amen. Well, you are right about that, Tom. You are absolutely right about that. Thank you so much for the call, my friend. Let's go to Ron in West Virginia. Ron, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Trying to fare out the weather. We got some rain at us now. But that's several of the subjects you've been discussing today mm-hmm. on your It seemed like they're all tied in with the pseudo-racism and the across-the-board perversion. You know, it's all coming from the same source, which to me is the methodology of the communist movement.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ron. I think that we are watching Marxism make a variety of moves in our culture. Now, I don't think there's any question about that, even though, here again, these are not people who would declare themselves as communists, but they're imbued with Marxist thinking, and they're trying to get the whole country to follow them into that abyss. And here again, we're simply not going.
Well, the whole thing with the, you know, Marxist, the socialist as opposed to communist, it's like the lipstick on the pig theory.
Right.
It's you might try to disguise it, but it's still things are what they are. You just have to. It's not necessarily even reading between the lines anymore. It's just looking at it, and you know, if you have a common sense to see things for what they are, with that distorted view of being propaganda fed and brainwashed.
Well, Ron, thank you so much for the call. You are absolutely right, and I think that's what they're trying to do. I shared this. I said Diana West used the phrase on a call I had on Tuesday when she called it psychological warfare. And I said, wow, that is a great way to describe it, because that's exactly what it is. Thanks for the call, Ron. Let's get one more in here before the break. Let's go to Vicki in Mississippi. Vicki, welcome.
Yes, nice to talk to you, Bishop.
Nice to talk to you, Vicki.
I must reiterate what a caller said the other day. If we ever find ourselves in Virginia at your church, you probably won't be able to preach for me yelling amen.
Well, thank you, Vicki.
Quick question. I am a member of a Southern Baptist church, and I'm very, very curious as to which Baptist institutions are teaching the critical race theory. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, well, you do some research on it, Vicki, but the Southern Baptist Convention now has, I don't know whether it's in their Sunday school lessons or exactly where they're doing it, but they've got some people now who believe that critical race theory is really a part of understanding racial sin, and so they've allowed that into the convention. Now, individual churches, as you know, are not forced to use anything that the convention gives them or sends them, but I understand the convention is now using it, adopting it. I'll take a look at the specific characters who are involved in this. You know, there's been a long-running battle in the Southern Baptist Convention that we thought had been won, oh my goodness, 25 years ago by Jerry Falwell and some of the others when they drove all the leftists out of the seminaries and drove them out of leadership in the convention. But they're back. Yeah, they're back. So your pastor may not buy into any of that. And I know some great Southern Baptist pastors, and believe me, they're not buying into any of it. So we're not talking about particular pastors, but about the convention itself. So yeah, Vicki, check it out, and we'll try to get some more details on it for you. All right, folks, stand by. Back in a moment.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years and lived as a man. When Laura came home, we were all ecstatic. And so I just woke up one night and it just kind of laid on my heart. We need to start a specific basket with names of prodigals in it that we will pray over.
Learn more or submit a prayer request at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
Because we all have someone.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
You know, there's no better way to avoid capital gains tax than to transfer your appreciated assets into a charitable remainder trust. If you transfer your appreciated assets, maybe stock, a house, antique collection, whatever it might be, you can transfer that into your own charitable remainder trust. The charitable remainder trust will then sell those assets and no capital gains will ever be paid. So all of the money goes to work for you to generate the income, and you've avoided those capital gains tax. Call the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345. Call the foundation, ask about a charitable remainder trust.
And if you really want to be effective with teenagers, that's what they want to know, is when is this going to be over? When will you say it's time for me to make my own decisions about this thing?
Dr. Ken Wilgus on Focus on the Family Minute.
Planned emancipation is simply an orderly giving over of freedom rather than it being wrested out of your cold, dead hands. that they will get that freedom, but it is super important for teenagers to hear, that these people who know me are saying, hey, we are now saying it's time for you to make that decision yourself. So planned emancipation is essentially the pattern from roughly 13 until you finish high school, that we as your parents are saying, this is the steps that you will take, the things that you will now be in charge of more and more as we recede from taking charge of these things in your life.
More insights from Dr. Wilgus at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Coming right back to your calls in a moment. The number is 888-589-8840. Just went quickly to the Southern Baptist Convention webpage, and they've got an article here, a resolution called On Critical Race Theory and Intersectionality. And you all know intersectionality is a concept of the left that basically talks about how homosexuality, transgenderism, race, gender, all of these intersect and you know, create some hodgepodge of oppression. It's a weird theory. But at any rate, here's what they say in their resolution. Critical race theory is a set of analytical tools that explain how race has and continues to function in society. And intersectionality is the study of how different personal characteristics overlap and inform one's experience. Then they say critical race theory and intersectionality have been appropriated by individuals whose worldviews are contrary to the Christian faith, resulting in ideologies and methods that contradict scripture. They say, however, evangelical scholars who affirm the authority and sufficiency of scripture have also employed selective insights from critical race theory and intersectionality to understand multifaceted social dynamics. So they affirm critical race theory. They say sometimes it's been abused, sometimes intersectionality has been abused or misused, but they affirm that these are important analytical tools for understanding race and so forth. So there you go. That's straight from the Southern Baptist Convention. They are basically embracing the concepts, even though they say the way they're sometimes used is wrong. I mean, that, folks, you know what that is to me? Gobbledygook and a kind of superficial, transparent, obvious, I should say, justification for using something that, in my view, has no place in Christianity whatsoever. Now, that's me. But I've got great Southern Baptist friends. I used to be in the Southern Baptist Convention. And I've got some great Southern Baptist friends, and I know they don't buy into any of that. So that's the convention. And I forget there's a particular set of people who are mainly engaged in this and are pushing it. But I guess they've got enough power now that they're sort of moving it through the convention, and we'll see what impact it has or whether there's another rebellion against this stuff within the Southern Baptist community to say, we are not having it, and that's got to go. I don't think there's any place for critical race theory. You know, critical race theory comes from James Cone. James Cone, folks, is a straight up racist and communist. He's the guy who said, if God is not black, we should kill him. He's the guy who said the church need, just like this Raphael Warnock down in Georgia. James Cone is the guy who said that the church needs, excuse me, folks, the church needs the homosexual community to teach it how to love. That's James Cone. He is the author of Critical Race Theory. Okay, let's keep going with your calls. Let's go to Mike in West Virginia. Mike, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you on.
Well, granted that currently leftists are calling everybody racist.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think there could be people in this country who want to mess everything up, and for that reason, they want to cause blacks and whites to hate each other?
Oh, yeah. I believe that that is primarily coming out of the left. I think that's their stock in trade.
Okay. If there was something that both blacks and whites were producing and enjoying, and if you were one of those people, wouldn't you want to get rid of that thing that both blacks and whites were enjoying?
Okay, now you got, Mike, you got to get to your point. What are you trying to say here?
I'm trying to say we need to bring back certain kind of music that was produced by both blacks and whites and enjoyed by both blacks and whites.
Okay, Mike, listen, thank you so much for the call. I wish it were that simple, but I'll tell you one thing. I do believe that there is a unique American culture that is an amalgam of many different cultures, and we need to celebrate that instead of this nonsense of cultural appropriation. You can't use that. That's cultural appropriation. You can't say that. That's cultural appropriation. You can't wear that. That's cultural appropriation. I say, blah. We're Americans, and we get to enjoy everybody's culture, and nobody owns it. And if your ancestors came from Ireland, you want to wear dashiki, God bless you. Have at it. You know? I mean, what do I care? And look, and if your ancestors came from Africa and you want to do Irish step dancing, go to it and enjoy it, brothers and sisters. I mean, I think I love that stuff. I think it's great. I think that's what makes America great. And instead, we got this nonsense and no, yeah, that's cultural appropriation. You can't do that. They own that. You can't use that. I mean, give me a break. Let's go to Geneva in Arkansas. Geneva, welcome.
Hello, my brother.
Hello, my sister.
You know, it just breaks my heart to see how, you know, the people are after each other. And I know I can't even believe how it must hurt our Lord. But you know, when we put a bouquet of flowers together, there is so many beautiful flowers, and there's some weeds that gets in there, and I'm talking about the gay stuff. But if we love them with God's love and everything, something might happen that they will turn out to be a beautiful flower, you know. And so we just got to love each other regardless of what all of this here talk is all about and trying to slam each other. Just, you know, I've always been told, you know, if you love something, treat it with love. You know, don't put salt on it. Put honey on it, you know. And I wish people would just try to get along.
Amen. Well, Geneva, I tell you, thank you so much for the call. I love the note you just struck. And folks, in keeping with, I think it was Mike's comment about something we all enjoy. You know what we all enjoy? We all enjoy America. We all enjoy living in this great land of liberty. And we've just got to convince the people who have been indoctrinated by the left that this country is worth loving and preserving and nurturing and growing instead of attacking and diminishing and denigrating and slandering. Because that's, we all have that in common. We are, that's why I say I'm not an African American. I know my ancestors came from Africa, but I'm not an African American. I'm an American. And we can come together and see ourselves as Americans with a common American experience. That's going to vary from person to person, but we're all here. And, you know, I was thinking about that saying. I don't know whether it was original to Dr. King, but I think he did say it. that either we learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or we will perish together as fools. And I don't think the left wants us to live together as brothers and sisters. I think their deal is they don't care what happens to us as long as they get the power to control us. Okay, let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Ed in Iowa. Ed, welcome.
Hi there. Thank you for your show. I really appreciate it, and it's been such a blessing to me. But
thank you.
The problem with this country is we've lost our fear of God. There's no fear of God. If you remove him from your thoughts and you don't fear him, then I guess you can do almost anything. You can say anything or whatever, you know. I mean, God is no respecter of persons. A lot of people think that because they're doing so great or they're famous or something, that ain't going to cut it.
Yeah,
I mean, we've lost our moral compass. Yes.
Ed, amen. Ed, you are so right. God is not impressed. You know, I just said Kanye West has $6.6 billion. Guess what? God's not impressed. Okay? God does not stand back at all. Wow, I never thought I'd see a black person with that much money. I mean, you know, it's like, no, God is not impressed. Listen, folks, the one who owns the whole universe, he's not impressed if you've got the money of Amazon or Bill Gates or whomever. He's not impressed. God's impressed by the heart. And that's the way he wants us to view each other. Thanks for the call, Ed. Let's go to Jimmy in Georgia. Jimmy, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm the one that you had last on your call when I was saying I was in the Army, and I got a pastor friend at a Marine.
Yes, I remember you. I remember you, yes.
Yes, sir. And I just want to come in. You know, the lady was talking about, you know, the love. Yeah, the Word of God, we have to love everybody but hate the sin. And one thing that I like about you that a lot of people, even a lot of pastors, is not doing, we can't change what we tolerate, and we cannot conquer what we're not willing to confront. And that's the problem with a lot of this stuff that's going on.
Amen. Wow, Jimmy, say that again. That's a memorable quote.
You cannot change what you tolerate, and you cannot conquer what you're not willing to confront.
Man, Jimmy, that's it, man. Thank you so much for the call. Keep calling, Jimmy. It's good to hear from you. Let's see if we can get May in from Arkansas. May, welcome.
Yes. I just have a quick comment.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. Biden, this is not on your subject, but I wonder why Biden.
Why he what is not doing anything about the border?
Well, yes, that's why he's not doing anything about the border, is because he wants the people in the U.S. with their COVID so that he can keep pushing the masks.
Mm. May, thank you so much for the call. I think we've just got time to get Barbara, a brief comment in from Barbara. Barbara, you only have about 15 seconds, but I saw you've been there waiting. I wanted to try to get you in to make a brief comment.
Okay, you're my brother, okay? I want everybody to know, Jackson, the young man that spoke just before this last lady was right on. We
Amen.
Have to be able to do what we say, not just sit in the living room. I made it too. And ever since I've been able to vote, I have written letters, I have made calls, and it has been effective one time, but it was worth that one time. But I love
Barbara,
your show.
Barbara, I've got to go. But listen, call me again, okay? Folks, thank you so much for your calls, and thank you for your prayers and your support of our network and this program. We love you all. We really do. And we want to do everything we can to help us make sure we preserve this great nation of freedom. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.